Mark chapter 10, kind of some cool verses here, so let's kind of walk through this together, all right? Here's what it says, "And so they reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' 'Be quiet,' some of the people yelled at him. But he only yelled louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, 'Tell him to come here.' So they called the blind man. 'Cheer up,' they said. 'Come on, he's calling you.' Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. 'Teacher,' the blind man said, 'I want to see.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has healed you.' And instantly, the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road." I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the question, what do you want from me? I know that with starting a church in downtown Cleveland, I'm going to tell you, it sticks out like crazy. We haven't had to carry on conversations with people about, "Hey, can I tell you about a new church we're starting?" They immediately go, "In downtown in Cleveland?" Now, if we were a bar, I'd be like, "Oh, okay, whatever, you're just one of 100, you know, that's starting down here." But a church, man, that sticks out. What's this all about, a church? And what happens is that at some point in time, the person is wondering, okay, they're starting a church down here, but what do they want from me? It's a great question, and I think it's a fair question to ask. And I was just to kind of walk through this morning, and I'll share with you a little bit about, kind of the answer, I think, to that question. But I want to live it out in the life of Bartimaeus and kind of what he experienced. Bartimaeus is sitting where all the beggars sat, and that is always on the outside of the city gate because that's where people came and would go, and people from afar would come in with their business and things like that. And so that was just kind of the place that they were supposed to be, and that was the place that they got their money. Bartimaeus is sitting there, and all of a sudden he hears what is always good news to the beggars, and that is the sound of a huge procession going by, because a huge procession means people, and people mean potentially money to help them out. And so what happens is Bartimaeus is sitting there, and he's listening, and he hears this, and he begins to stop people saying, hey, what is going on? What's happening? And they begin to tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And Bartimaeus begins to get excited because he's already heard of Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what all he knows. It doesn't tell us which story that he knows. But clearly, Bartimaeus knows exactly who he is. But here's the interesting thing. Every single day that Bartimaeus would get up, somebody had to take him out to the city gate. And at the conclusion of each day, someone had to escort him back to wherever that he might be staying. And so Bartimaeus has to rely on everybody else to tell him kind of what's going on, all right? There's no newspaper with Braille that he can read, none of that stuff. So he has to hear everything by word of mouth. Obviously, Jesus is a famous guy, and a lot of things have been going on with Jesus, and he's like, wow, this is my chance. As an interesting thing that starts happening is Bartimaeus starts yelling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me, son of David." And you know, just like when someone gets belligerent, you know, like the person next to you, okay, you know what I'm talking about, those people, or your brother or sister, and they get a little belligerent, they know how to get on your nerves, they begin to tell him, just shut up. He doesn't want anything to do with you, just shut up. And what does Bartimaeus begin to do? He yells even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me, son of David." Now here's what, if you're just casually reading the scripture that you may not get, and it took me a while to see it. Here's what they're telling him. Jesus from Nazareth, a guy from this city, is passing by. But notice what he says. He doesn't say, "Jesus of Nazareth, help me." He says something very important to the listeners of that day. They knew exactly what he was saying, and this is one of the reasons why they were trying to shut him up. He was yelling out, "Son of David." Now, to you and I, we go, well, what's the big deal with that? That was one of the titles for the Messiah that was to come. This was the promised one. This was the Savior of the world. And so when he yelled out, Jesus, Son of David, let me tell you what he was yelling out. Jesus, Savior of the world, God, have mercy on me. You know why they were trying to get him shut up? Number one, he's being belligerent. Okay, but there was noise anyway. There was a bunch of people around, so it wasn't like he was on making noise. But he was yelling out, hey, God, have mercy on me. And you know something? They told him, there's a guy from Nazareth that passes by, and he was like, you've got it wrong. There is a God that is passing by. And isn't it interesting that the only person that really sees clearly spiritually in this passage is the blind guy? And yet, when you really think about it, when did he ever witness Jesus doing one of his miracles? How about walking on water? Well, if he hasn't seen before, he hadn't seen anything. Well, what about the 5 loaves and 2 fish that Jesus fed the multitudes and fed thousands with? He didn't see that, he just heard about it. What about resurrecting the dead? That's kind of a cool thing, a little creepy, okay? But resurrecting the dead, he never saw that. He just heard about it. The smartest guy in that story is Bartimaeus because he knows exactly who passes by. The parade is around Jesus, but they don't even understand really who he is. So while they say to him, hey, it's just Jesus of Nazareth, he's passing by, he puts on a pretty good show. Sometimes he heals some people, throws out some evil spirits. That's kind of a cool thing. We kind of like that. And you know what happens? He goes, you all understand, this is God walking by. This is my chance. And so he begins to yell out, Son of David, Jesus, God, have mercy on me. I think sometimes that's where we kind of miss God. We look at the mundane and we say, you know, Jesus is kind of for Sunday or something that I kind of go to and kind of check out, and occasionally I might read my Bible. But the rest of the week, I just don't see the relevance. If there's one thing that we want to get across as Gateway, and this is my passion, is that God is relevant to every single area of your life. When you're hurting, when you're happy, when you're excited. One of the great pleasures that I had in my ministry years was working with athletic teams. You want to get me fired up, you know, put a basketball or football game in front of me, and man, I'm all about it. It doesn't matter who's playing, you know. I'm yelling at the refs, you know, you stink. As if they could hear me. You know, I don't know why we yell at the TV. You know, they can't hear you and stuff. And I don't know that I could do much better, but, you know, I'd like to give it a try, you know. Because you watch me go, who gets these jobs? You know, this guy's terrible. And so I'm watching all this stuff and paying attention to, you know, what's going on with games and stuff like that. And I had a chance to work with some athletic teams. One of them was a state university, and so I went to go in a little town called Arkadelphia, Arkansas. There's actually 2 colleges there. It's a real strange area, and so there was this one university, and what happened was a guy in my church came to me, and he said, hey, do you ever talk with athletes? And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I've worked with several high school teams and stuff like that. And he goes, well, hey, why don't you come do a Bible study for the guys? It's a volunteer thing. We can't make them come, but, you know, there's usually some that are there. And I was like, okay. So I went and spoke at the thing, and the next day I got a call, and they were like, hey, man, we want you to come back. The guys loved it. And what's more is we won. And I'm like, okay. Well, I just moved there, so I didn't think too much of it. So I went back over there. And what happened was is that they called me back again. As a matter of fact, one of the assistant coaches came to my door the next week and said, hey, the coach wants to know if he paid your way to West Alabama. And if you stayed at the hotel with us, he'll get you a hotel room, stuff like that. Would you go with us? I was like, well, that's, I don't know that I can do that. We've got all these things going on this weekend, but, you know, I really can't do that. And he goes, well, we won again. And the coach wants to know if you can go with him. And I was like, well, I'm not really a good luck charm. I was like, I don't understand the big deal. Well, let me explain to you the big deal. And I have this with me, just so that I can prove what all was going on. You can look it up yourself. The previous 2 years, before I was there, their combined record was 2-22. Their wins were by a total of like 7 points total. Okay, I mean, they eked out a win. It wasn't like they dominated or something. Then that year that I started with them, they had already lost 4 in a row to start out the season. Okay, so now then they're like 2-26. So then I do this one Bible study. There's about 20 guys there, and they turn around and won. And they were like, hey, we want you to come back. You know, I came back. They won again. They were like, hey, we really want you to come back. Well, what started happening was I was like, man, I can't go with you to West Alabama. They're like, that's okay. We want you to do a Bible study before we leave to go on the bus. And I was like, okay, what time do you leave? 5:30 in the morning, Thursday morning. I was like, 5:30 in the morning, man. I don't even do my own Bible study then. I mean, come on. I was like, okay, well, I'll come down there. Well, what happened was the group started growing, you know. We were up to about 60 guys by this point. Now, you got to remember, 5:30 in the morning, the guy has to choose to be there. The bus doesn't leave till 6, okay, so they don't have to get up. And one thing I know about college students, they're not getting up any earlier than what they have to, right? And so then they started winning, and I had to go to them. I was like, guys, here's what you need to know. I'm not a good luck charm for you. I don't know what God's doing with this thing, but here's the deal. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with all that stuff, but here's what you need to know. You know, God's definitely up to something here. He's changing some things around here, and that's great. We finally ended up with just about every guy on the football team would come early for the Bible devotionals. It was a cool time. And I'll never forget, I was like, man, I'm going to take the big risk. Because, man, I would go in there and rant and rave at them, you know, and I knew who the quarterback was and the center and everything else. And I was just like, you know, you got to protect. I mean, it was awesome. It was like I was one of the coaches, you know. As a matter of fact, they didn't call me a chaplain. They called me the spiritual coach, which I thought was so cool, you know. They invited me on the sidelines and stuff. And here's this monstrous guys that are massive, you know, compared to me. And then they have on pads and a helmet. And I look like this little squeak of a guy, you know, running around. And they're like, is that the mascot? I'm like, thanks. No, I was not the mascot. But what happened was I came in and I got real brave. And I was like, man, I'm just going to go in and risk this. Let's just see what they do. And I walked in and I said, guys, I said, here's the deal. I said, I don't think God wants you to segment your life where Jesus is about Sunday, but he's not about anything else. And I said, here's what I want you guys to know today. And this is directly from God to you. And I said, here's what you need to hear. Today, your job is to knock the other guy on his can. And it went about as quiet as what you all are right now. And I repeated it because I was like, okay, they hadn't like started a rebellion yet. So I went for it again. You know, it's like, hey, man, I've got guts now. I was like, your job today is to knock him on his can. And man, it was, all these eyes are looking back at me like, dude has flipped out, you know, he's really gone berserk on us. I said, guys, what would Jesus have you do today? Would Jesus play football like a pansy? How would he play football? Was he a tough guy? And they were like, yeah. It's like, okay. I was like, do you zip out of your Jesus suit if you're a Christian? And you play football, and then, oh, we're off the football field, so now then I put back on my Jesus suit? That's a little weird. No wonder people find it irrelevant. I said, guys, here's where what you can't do. You can't go out there to injure somebody. That's the line. You can't do what the rules forbid. That's the line. And I said, if you need some help today as far as some inspiration and some encouragement, quote some Bible verses to the other dude. And I could just see their faces. It was like, all we know is Jesus wept. That's not a good one, you know. I was like, here's one for you. Knock him on his can. So you're helping him up. Just say, I will return again. I was like, it totally fits. And they were like, yeah. And I said, the next time that it happens, just look at him and say the same thing. I will return, you know? And it was just like the light bulb went off inside their head. And I said, guys, I said, see, that's the problem. I said, we've segmented Christianity way too much. It's like Jesus is the God of Sunday or for a service or whatever else, but it has nothing to do with the rest of the time or the rest of the week. And I said, guys, you need to be liberated today and understand that if your goal is to harm somebody, yeah, you've crossed the line. But if your goal is within the rules, play passionate for God. I said, because the last thing you need to do when you walk off the field today is for Jesus to be disappointed in the way that you played. I was like, did you know that you could disappoint Jesus in playing football? I said, and I'm not talking about your 2-26 record. That is abysmal, okay? That's embarrassing for anybody, not just Jesus. I said, guys, I thought they were going to kill me at that point, but they didn't. They didn't. I was okay. And it was just amazing how we bonded after that moment. And what happened was is they started seeing Jesus as an everyday God, not a God that they slip on this Jesus suit for a little bit or they do a devotional and then they take it off. I said, guys, if you will live life with that passion, if you will live life with that viewpoint, you're going to be exactly where God wants you to be, and you're going to experience God in your life in a remarkable, amazing way. When you look at Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. But here's what I think is so remarkable about Bartimaeus and the story with Jesus. When he cries out, and when you cry out, here's the coolest thing. God always stops. Did you notice that in the story? That when Bartimaeus cried out, Jesus stops. And then it says that Jesus called for him. And then Jesus asked him this question, which is unbelievable. What do you want me to do for you? Now, we all know that Jesus knows exactly what he needs. He's blind, for crying out loud. Why is he asking such a stupid question? Because Jesus was testing the heart. And he wanted to know, is this guy really going to ask the real need question? Or is he going to say, man, I need $1,000? Because that's what he asked for from everybody else. And he goes, Jesus, I want to see. Jesus says, all right, I'll do it. And let him go on. What I think is so cool is Bartimaeus didn't just run home, did he? Bible records that he followed after Jesus down the road. You know something, when you have an experience with God, and I'm talking about a legitimate experience with God, and God, and you have this heart cry for God, and God stops, and God calls, and then God asks you the question, what do you want, and then God answers, you never stay the same. I'll have a thing each time in my messages that I call a GPS. Everybody kind of knows what a GPS anymore is. You know, it tells you within just a few feet where you are on this planet. I use GPS just basically to mean good practical stuff, okay? And here's the good practical stuff for this morning. This is a thing maybe that hopefully you'll take away from this morning, and that is this. You cannot go with God and stay the way that you are. You cannot go with God and stay the way that you are. Bartimaeus didn't go back to begging. You think Jesus would have allowed for that? You think Jesus would have said, oh, okay, now that you know it's you're healed, you know, you hadn't had a job really before and stuff like that, why don't you just go back to begging? Uh-uh. He was forever changed. Bartimaeus even knew, this isn't the way I go back, because what did he do? It says he threw away his coat, threw away his cloak. He said, I don't need this anymore. I'm done with that. He was gone. And he moved on. So let me answer the question that maybe you came with as, okay, what do you want from me? Here's what I would say to you is to answer that question, okay? This is the one thing that I can point to and say this is exactly it. And that is, I would like to be your pastor. So, well, okay, well, that's a little different. All right, I might be all right with that. What does that mean? What it means is this, that I'll always give you grace to love you no matter what, but in truth, I'll be honest no matter what. In grace, I'll love you no matter what, but in truth, I'll be honest no matter what. And I don't know where you came from this morning. I don't know, you know, what you were thinking when you came this morning, but I can tell you this. It's not really what we want from you as much as it is what we want for you. What I want for you is what Bartimaeus experienced, and it's what I've experienced. Do I have it all together? No. Do I have all the questions answered for you? No. I'm not like Radio Shack that always throws up the commercial, you know, you have questions, you know, we have answers. If you have questions, I've probably got more questions. I don't have it all figured out, but I know this much. I've got what Bartimaeus pretty much had figured out, and that it was Jesus wasn't just a guy like what the rest of the crowd thought. Jesus is God. And there's no need to segment my life and all that other stuff, but to understand this, that I can't go with God and remain the way that I am. God's in the process of transforming me, helping me to be better, having me be kinder, Heaven be a person of joy. One who will weep with those who weep and one who will rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, I can always find people who will rejoice with me when things are going well, but boy, you and I both know it's tough to find those friends who will weep with you when it's time to weep. You know what that's like. You know what's amazing about this entire passage? This was exactly 1 week before Jesus' crucifixion. And Jesus knew what was coming. He had just told his disciples about 20 verses earlier. If you don't believe me, you can check it out tonight or in the morning whenever you read your Bible. Just read about 20 verses preceding this, and he takes his disciples aside and say, hey, here's what you need to know. We're going to Jerusalem, and you need to know that what's going to happen is they're going to take me, they're going to beat me, they're going to kill me, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. Okay, now then, we've got to go. You know what he's doing? He's making a beeline straight for where the cross is. He's not running from it. And here's the amazing part to me. A beggar gets God's attention on the way to the cross. A beggar. A blind man. And if he'll stop on the way to the cross, he'll stop for you after the cross. Because of all the things that was on Jesus' mind, he knew, 1 week and counting, 1 week and counting, this is going to be horrific, this is going to be terrible, this is going to be awful. And yet one crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me, makes Jesus stop and say, this is what I'm really about. This is who I am. I don't know where you came from this morning. I hope that this message is a challenge. I hope that in the weeks to come, you'll come back, learn more. I'm not expecting you to make a decision this morning. I'm not expecting you to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. But at least do the research. At least check it out. At least give it some credence to say, okay, what if? And walk the journey with us. I'm not going to corner you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm never going to make you come down front. I'm not going to do anything like that. If you want to contact me by email, you can do so through the website. My phone number's on there. You can call me. I'll meet you anywhere. We'll talk. We'll do coffee, whatever. I'm not going to stand up here and say, hey, I was just talking with Bill the other day, and here's what he told me. I will never do that and rat out your confidence. As a matter of fact, if people approach me and said, hey, didn't I see you talking with Bill? I'll go, well, it might have been. It's really none of their business. It's really none of their business. But I hope that you seek, and I hope that you give it a shot, and that you really take the claims of Jesus and say, okay, what is he all about? What is he really all about? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning on that connection card. If you've already filled that out, that's great. If you haven't, during this next song, take time to do that. You may want to check one of those boxes. Yeah, Pastor Alex, contact me. Let's do lunch. Let's do coffee somewhere. You may just want to write on there something that God spoke to you about this morning. That'll encourage me. Again, I'm not sending this out for general consumption. It's just going to be me and a few others that actually see these. Okay? We're not going to publish them somewhere or use you as an illustration or whatever. It'll be very private. Okay? But I will contact you if you put that on there. All right? Everybody just bow our heads, close our eyes. We're going to have a song here and